Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
So guys, I just had the pleasure to talk to Nancy. I managed to watch the film yesterday. It was incredibly moving, but as we were talking earlier, the power maybe of this film, The Rape of Rissi Taylor, is just that it's not just an emotional engagement, but it goes through the levels of, you know, the political commitment and the push and the drive to do something. So, first of all, I thank you for making this film and being part of it. I just wonder how was it for you, for example? Was it very difficult and hard to go through again, you know, to think about this and, you know, put it into words? And for you as well, you know, from a scholarship perspective, then going into such an emotional and personal way.
Well, the rape was very hard. I was on the family. And I was 9 years old at the time, but I remember the day like if it happened yesterday. And we weren't so surprised that a black woman was being raped, but it hits you hard when it's your own family. And Rissi was a very, very dear to me. She was like a mother. And she took care of us because our mother passed away when I was 13 months old. And she raised me. So she was like a dear mother, and the night that she was raped, we was told about it later on that night by the police that she was being taken away, and it hit us very hard. And I remember as a little boy, 9 years old, I was standing on the porch crying, and there was a police had set up a headquarters just across the street from my house, and they was out looking for Rissi, but finally they found her, and they brought her into that station. But when I first heard the man had the gun that took her, and when I hear that gun, I know they were took her away to kill her. And I was very frightened because she was like a mother to me. She raised the whole family with 7 of us, and she was the oldest one. But after that, she went on, and they went through all the processes trying to prosecute these guys, and they didn't get anything done. And to Rosa Parks really stepped in. She was the one that got it into the grand jury, and she also got it into another town, Montgomery, the grand jury. And Rosa Parks was at our house while she was treated very cruel there. First time she came, the police come and made her leave, and told her not to come back to town anymore. She came back 2 weeks later, and this time that she was in the house and the police busted in, opened the door without saying anything, grabbed Rosa Parks by the arm and pulled her out in the house right by me. And there were steps there to go down, 3 steps. And he would not allow her to walk on those steps. He just snatched off the edge of the porch and she fell in the yard. But she was a young woman at that time. And after that, Rosa Parks got into Montgomery, and that's when she was had the second grand jury.
As you said, I'm a scholar, so I actually spend a lot of my time in the archives reading about these cases and researching these cases. I work on sexual violence and racial violence from the Civil War to about the 1930s, and I teach the Rissi Taylor case in my civil rights course. You know, people often say to me, how do you write about and teach about rape and racial violence? And it's hard. I mean, especially because I'm from the South. It's my history. You know, when I saw the images of Rissi or when I heard Rissi's sister Alma talking about her experience, it's hard to disconnect because it's not just words on a page. It's not a police report that you see how people's lives were affected and changed forever. So working on the film was challenging but inspiring in new ways. It just makes a difference when you can hear the voices of the people who lived through and experienced with Rissi what happened that night and in the aftermath.
And watching the film, there's probably from also kind of a European perspective, sounds very bad, but like, I just mean that you just look at it and it's like, how is that even possible? You know, the arm of the law, the police, is completely just not doing what they meant to be. But at the same time, it's just like the systemic, let's call it like that, the systemic failure towards the African-American community of the police and the state is insane. And unfortunately, is very contemporary and relevant today. What do you think, where's the right path? You know, because there's a lot of counter-information, which is, of course, essentially needed. There's a lot of, you know, movement towards, you know, finally an equity for everybody. But when can we step up? What is the actual path to do? Because, you know, nowadays as well, now we have also like almost a downfall towards the exact opposite. We're going backwards. So I just wonder, like, what you guys think we should keep doing in order to make, you know, this a better world?
I mean, I think people have to keep speaking up and telling their stories. I think for African Americans, when we see cases of police brutality, or we see black men being shot in the back by police officers, it's nothing new, right? It's part of a long history, right? And police brutality has evolved, right? I've done a lot of work on lynching, and what a lot of that research shows that police officers were often a part of mob violence that was inflicted on black communities. So what do we do? You know, we do what, you know, Rosa Parks and the NAACP did in 1944. We expose it, right? We hope for justice. But as we know, justice, retribution aren't always givens, right? But your voice is all you have, right? So I think what you see now is young African Americans speaking up, having a voice, saying this is wrong, this isn't right. There's always pushback. There's always been pushback, right? The question is, when are we going to get to a point where black people aren't having to take to the streets to get justice, right? America we love our ideas about democracy and equality, right? But on the ground, there's a real gap between those ideas and people's everyday lives, particularly for black people. And so in many ways, as a historian, I'm like, context matters. So it matters that Racy Taylor's case happened in 1944. There's historical significance and relevance. But I also think one can draw a line and say, you know, this is police brutality, right? That this is people not having equal access to the legal system, right? And that those are patterns that aren't new.
You know, police violence is nothing new, like she said. And one of the best things that we have now going for us, everybody's walking around with a camera on them. And there's no question about that. But in the past, when you was violated by the police, I'm talking about black people now, you have no defense because whatsoever you told the investigators, that was mostly thrown out because you had no evidence. But the camera is the thing that we got going for us today.
Thank you for being with us. No. Fred Film Radio, The Festival Inside.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.